Welcome on into the 6 p.m. hour. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 7:30. Hawks pregame comes your way then. Big thanks to our buddy Trevor Lane, front office show, Lakers Nation. He just gave us a full breakdown of the game, and we also whipped around some NBA headlines as well. We got to talk some dogs now, though, on the WadeFord.com hotline with a statement victory, 41-21, on the road at Miss State. Jeremy Johnson covers the team for Dogs HQ. Make sure you check out his stuff there. Jeremy, this one felt like it was needed a little bit. Let me see if you're on the same page with me here as we get rolling. Felt like Georgia's been in a lot of tight games this season. Feels like their defense has underperformed several times this season. So to come out and put up a 40-burger on the road, it just felt pretty good.
Yeah. You could almost just hear the sigh of relief. It's just like, man, this Georgia team, like you said, has just been everything that they've earned, they've had to earn it. I mean, and it's been a battle, and everything's been, you know, there's been slow starts. There's been, you know, controversial calls that have led to games swinging one way or the other. And there were none of that today. So, I mean, it definitely felt like there was probably like a big sigh of relief because it's been tough. But I think this was the first time you've seen Georgia play that complete game. I mean, now they did start slow on defense. Mississippi State went right down and scored in their, you know, their first 15 scripted plays. But after that, I mean, it was all Georgia. I mean, and that's kind of what you want to see at this part of the year. This is when it's kind of time to go.
What did Nate Frazier do today differently? Because he's been good as a dog, but today, 12 carries, 181 yards, scored. Yeah. What did you see today that allowed him to shine so bright?
I mean, his patience today was exceptional. I mean, first of all, his offensive line played really well. I mean, that's probably the first difference, is that offensive line is fully healthy. Ernest Green's back in there, and Ernest Green is playing well. Dontrell Glover and Juan Gasson are just super freshman group that plays at the right guard spot and the right tackle spot. And that group's just playing really well right now. And they just created alleys for Nate and for Chauncey Mullins to run through today. But just watching Nate today, I mean, he was really patient, but then he also kind of ran with that anger that he runs with. He runs with a lot of anger, and sometimes he gets a little overzealous and he tackles himself sometimes. He didn't really do that today. And that big long run, he just kind of waited, and the hole opened up, stuck his foot in the ground, and went, I guess it was 60 yards or so. So that's what he can do with his speed and his explosiveness. He just, you know, sometimes has had the patience to let stuff develop, and he did that today. And I think that's what you're going to see out of him moving forward. And if Georgia can get that out of him, and Chauncey Bowens and what we've seen out of him, I mean, that's a 1-2 combo of guys that, you know, that kind of start to put you in the mind of the Nick Chubbs, the Sonny Michel combo of the past.
When you look at what Gunnar Stockton did today, he already had a 4-touchdown performance this season earlier. He now adds a 3-touchdown performance. He's only got 2 interceptions on the season. I think you can make the argument pretty soundly that he's been underrated, especially given, you know, what the expectations have been for Georgia. He's answered the bell, certainly. He has not been the reason that this team has gotten off to some slow starts and been in some battles.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think nationally we're talking about Gunnar Stockton enough. I mean, like you just said, two interceptions. That was Georgia's issue last year. They just turned the football over in so many inopportune times. And the way this offense runs, it's kind of a, hey, if you can keep it on schedule and you can run the football, you're going to win football games. Where if you're giving the ball to the other team and allowing them to have the football more times than you, then eventually they're going to score, and that can cost you points. So Gunnar Stockton has been a good proponent of Georgia being able to play defense with their offense by keeping the other team off the field. But then also in key moments, he's made the right plays. It's not necessarily been the splash plays. He's just taken what the defense has given him a lot. And I think we, you know, as a society, we like what's exciting and we like what's flashy. And I think Gunnar Stockton doesn't necessarily do a lot of that, because a lot of times the right thing on a football field isn't the flashy or special thing. And he does a really good job of putting his team in the right position and making the right decision. Now you look at his stats, he's thrown for around 2,000 yards. He's at 9 touchdowns in the last 3 games. So you're starting to see him kind of ascend as far as the statistics as well. And I think you're starting to kind of have to talk about him as one of these quarterbacks that's in that race for the Heisman Trophy at some point, especially with these next couple games coming up.
Texas under the lights next weekend. Obviously, Arch Manning's been way up and down this season. Do you think Kirby's salivating at a chance to make him look humbled on national TV?
I mean, I think he's just salivating. It's a big opportunity to put on a showcase for that program. I mean, Dave, this is one that everyone's talked about since, I mean, when did the schedule come out? Whenever the schedule was announced, this was one that was circled. So I think it'll be a big one. I don't think Georgia – all week we're going to hear Georgia not make it, you know, as big as it can be. But, you know, I'm sure it's a big one just because of, you know, the last year these two teams have met twice, and this will be the third time. So, obviously, Texas is playing well. Arch Manning is, you know, he figured something out. I mean, the last two games he's been really good. So, you know, they're going to be coming in really motivated, rested. They had an off week this week. So it's going to be a showdown for sure.
Where do you make of the state of the defense right now? I know the Ole Miss game a couple of weeks ago aside, they've sort of calmed down a bit. You look at the scores against Auburn, Florida, Miss State, nothing crazy out of that bunch. Do you feel like the defense is coming along finally?
Yeah, I think you're starting to see these guys grow up, and people are kind of in the place where they're going to be. There was a lot of moving parts early in the year because there was a lot of guys you just didn't know what they were yet. You know, Daniel Harris was a starter at the beginning of the year, and Ellis Robinson and DeMelo Jones were coming in there and flip-flopping and playing sprinkling plays, and then we had a while where Ellis Robinson only played, and then we had a while where DeMelo Jones and Ellis Robinson were flipping out. Daniel Harris played a little bit today because of DeMelo Jones' injury, but I think all of the roles have kind of settled into place, and these guys are learning what it takes to prepare week in and week out. It's a grind in the SEC, and if you're a young football player that's never been through it, it can change the way you look at the sport, because it's just like, man, every week we got to do this with guys that are this good. I mean, in high school you may get a game where you can just go out there and show up and run off 50 points, but it's not that way in the SEC, and it's not that way in college football for the most part. So I think that part of it is you've seen that growth and that maturity kind of come in, and you know, and they're flying around and making plays now instead of thinking about what they're supposed to be doing.
Speaking about the SEC, how surprised are you with the sheer volume of high-profile jobs open within the conference?
You know, I am personally a little surprised right now, just because, you know, when you start trying to get rid of guys, and okay, well now you see this job open up over here, now you're competing with that job for the guy you may want. So, if I'm not absolutely 100% sure, I'm like, why am I, you know, jumping into that hat when I don't really have to? I mean, maybe with the guy I have, I can at least keep my recruiting class intact and keep my roster I have intact and, you know, try to build for next year. But that's not what's happening. These people are, you know, it's like the NFL now. Well, let's get this process started for next year. We're not going to the college football playoff. And I do think that's kind of the trend we will see moving forward. It's kind of going to be the NFL model where, you know, every year, hey, if you're not in the college football playoff, your clock is ticking at some of these big programs. Now, there are some places where you're going to have to build, but, you know, when you start talking about Florida, LSU, Auburn, those places expect to be in contention for the college football playoff, and, you know, that's what it is. And, I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world right now in college football.
Well, speaking of, perfect lead into my next question. If I'm Lane Kiffin and I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, man, I built up the number 5 program in the country. I got a quarterback in the NFL who's lighting the world on fire. My resume couldn't be any higher right now. I know money talks, and that's ultimately probably what will win out at the end of the day, because LSU could just write you a blank check. Auburn could just write you a blank check. But from a football perspective, staying at Ole Miss just seems like the obvious choice. They're right there with any other team in the country.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if we were talking about another coach, any other coach, I think it would be a no-brainer. I mean, but the fact that we're talking about Lane Kiffin, and he's had all these jobs. Like, he's had the elite jobs before. He's had the Tennessee. He had the USC. He's been the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. I mean, I just thought about this the other day. I'm like, wow. Lane Kiffin has been the head coach of an NFL team, and he's only, what, mid-40s, late-40s? He's still a young guy, so it's like there's no reason for him to necessarily go chase the money or chase the, hey, this program can do more financially. I think he's probably like, well, where am I going to be the happiest? Where's my ceiling the highest? Now, that the money part of that kind of plays into how high is my ceiling, because, hey, you got the portal, you got recruiting, spending matters. So that's kind of I think where the hang up will be with Lane Kiffin, just because, you know, hey, he's had these jobs before, he's had these opportunities, and they haven't gone well, and they went bad really quickly for him. They weren't like he got 4 and 5 years to figure it out. He was out of these places in 2 or 3 years, and trying to look, you know, looking back, trying to figure out how to be better. And I think he's found a good, happy place at Ole Miss, and I think they can win. I mean, they're right there right now for an opportunity to go play in the college football playoff this year. So, you know, it's definitely a decision, and it's definitely, you know, a highlight of what today's college football is, because I think, you know, I think that you can win anywhere, but then also there's a ceiling everywhere.
Before I let you go, do you think Brent Key did himself a disservice this week by making the bold proclamation of cut me open and I bleed yellow jacket, yellow and gold? Because he'll probably have some big offers coming his way.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's a lot of the same things going on there. I mean, this is a guy that seems to really love Georgia Tech, and he's put the hard work in to make that program what it is right now. Like, and I still think they're on the up and up. I don't even think this is the ceiling of Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech sits on this fertile ground of recruiting right here in the city of Atlanta, and he's got some charisma, he's got some toughness, and that program is building this thing towards something. We don't know where that ceiling is yet, but he's building towards it. And I think him saying that, I mean, if you're Georgia Tech's admin, you have to go, hey, I mean, this is our guy. I mean, if we want to keep him, we better take care of him, because someone will.
Jeremy, great stuff. Appreciate the time as always. We'll check you out on Dogs HQ, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you. You have a good one.